configuration of the place, environment, shifting from thanksgiving and spirit of gratitude, but how to configure an environment that becomes a place of mission. While that is, can be as a household of faith, it can be a localized family, or even you personally as well. We must know how to become a grace sufficient environment changer. If you have grace sufficiency, you can function. We've been looking at Psalms 133 over the past couple of weeks. When we looked at how oil is poured, and oil in the scriptures is a continuous picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also brings anointing. So while you have the person of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, when we talk about anointing, is the enablement or the power or the ability that the Holy Spirit gives you. So while you have the person of the Holy Spirit, David had three distinct anointings. That was not three different Holy Spirit, same Spirit, but different levels of enablement, empowerment. That you go to Isaiah 11, the Bible tells you about the seven functions of the Spirit. So at the right time, the Spirit gives you wisdom, gives you understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Those are the anointings that manifest in your life. Same Spirit, but at different times when the anointing manifests, you can function in might, you can function in wisdom, function in understanding. So the Bible talks about the Spirit upon you and the anointing that comes. There is an enablement, there is grace, there is power that comes. And we are looking now at how when the oil is poured, it's poured on their head. And while we looked at Aaron in the Old Testament, he spoke prophetically, symbolically, and in types and shadows of Christ. Because the true head of all things is Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Give you a couple of scriptures for that. Christ is the head of man. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, we did that. Then Christ is the head of all creations. In Ephesians chapter 5, 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Then also in Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you're talking about headship, Christ is it, but Christ is the representation of the Godhead. And the Bible says, when that manifests, when the headship manifests, the next part of Colossians says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So there is no principality, there is no power greater than Christ the head. Christ lives in you. So when you know how to be connected to Christ the head, there is no principality or power greater than you. Why? Greater is he than is in you. So every principality has been overcome. You must know that there is no spirit greater. And so we looked at several aspects of it. So we looked at how Christ is the wisdom of God and how Christ is the power of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Now I give you a text all the time. Sometimes I may not give you verses, but so that you can go and meditate on it. And then we spoke from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, how God chooses the foolish things to shame the wise, how he has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty and the base things of the world. And all of those things is so that no flesh can glory in his presence. What does that mean? All of your accomplishments, all of your wisdom, all of your powerful exploits are not you. God shows you that through you he could demonstrate his power. But not for you to be good or bold or to be known, but so that he could put to shame the things of this world. You see, when God is in you and you have the Spirit of God in you, you have an understanding that God wants to show that the things of this world are temporary. That's why he elevates you. That's why our children get wisdom and they get A's in school. Not because they studied hard. Studying is what they have to do. But he chose you foolish one. Put his wisdom in you. That he may confound the wise. What is the confound? How does he confound the wise? You go to church, in the time you just be starting with Isaiah, doing the meetings, you are faithful, and you still get the symbols you get. He's showing that in the natural that don't work. But in the spirit, he's showing how he took a foolish thing. What do you mean go to church? Oh, if you miss one meeting, it won't make a difference. No, he's showing how he makes foolish things. Confounds the wise. They can't understand. He took the weak things, then he made them strong. Why? So that no flesh can glory in his presence. Then we looked at how Jesus, as the head, when he started his ministry on the earth, because we know that we are following the pattern of Christ, when he started his ministry on the earth, he went, and I want to read the text again, so that we can read Luke chapter 4, 16 to 19. If you are with me, Dr. Governor was saying yesterday as we stood, as we were in a meeting, he made the people stand. He said, because at pivotal times, people start to, a spirit of sleep comes upon people. He made the people stand. As a medical doctor, he was saying, but a spirit, sometimes you can sleep. Not knowing, suddenly you feel tired, you feel weary, and you yes, there are medical reasons for all that, but you must know there's a moment where God wants to transact something into your spirit. And you must say grace transaction. Understand? It's very important. Just as we start speaking, your head will start feeling. Something else will start feeling. What is that? It's called distraction. Distraction is you won't focus on the main thing. You become the main thing. Okay? So just be alert or remind you of that, because I want you to capture something this morning. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, and when he had been, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And I give you the Isaiah 61 equivalent. Remember, he read from the book of Isaiah. But we said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he is anointed. That means empowered. We heard this morning how you are the temple of the living God. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. And you receive an enablement, an empowerment for what? Number one, it is to preach the gospel to the poor. Everyone say to preach the gospel to the poor. Now this is very important, because in the anointing of God, Jesus himself, as he entered his ministry, the first thing that he had to do was, the anointing was given to him to preach the gospel to the poor. Everyone say, God is interested in the poor.
God is interested in the poor.
But he's not interested in giving them parcels, he's interested in them being preached to.
Yes.
Okay, remember this, very important. We try and take care of the poor by giving them food, and you must do those things. But the spirit, when you understand that it's a spiritual dynamic, when you're dealing with the spirit of poverty, when it's someone is poor, there is a spiritual transaction that has to be dealt with. How do you break the curse of poverty? How do you break the principality of poverty? You have to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It's very important, right? Because a lot of you are going through poor things, and you're poor at the moment. I'm going to explain it through the scripture. We engage in the preaching of the word, because the first thing God wants you to be delivered from is poverty.
Yes.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
This is why the kingdom came. The kingdom didn't come for you to be poor, because he said, preach to the poor first. Why? If you preach to them, they can become rich. Yeah, come on. You're like, you know, somewhere else, I was in the Catholic Church, they'll be very happy. Looks like you don't want to be rich, but stay where you are. I'll take what you don't want. This is why the gospel is preached. The gospel is first and foremost preached to change you from poverty to prosperity.
Amen.
That's what it is. So you must ask yourself, you're in the church for a long time, you're in this season for a long time, have you shifted out of your poverty? Because the gospel is preached so that you can become prosperous. So preaching the gospel is a priority in the kingdom of God. The poor has been defined only as those who are economically challenged. Right? That's how you see the poor, don't have any money. But a lot of people don't have any money, not because they don't have money, it's because they can't manage the money. So you're poor at management. Lots of people don't have money because they don't know what to buy. They'll buy expensive things, they'll go buy a car, they have 20,000 rand, buy a car for 15,000 rand, and they'll drive the car fast, but they'll buy a manual. Why? Downhill, you can put it in neutral. Yeah, that's why they're high. But as long as everyone can see, hey, you're doing well. So is that a rich person driving a nice car? No, it's a poor person. Can't make wise decisions. Get your first job, you're going to change your own wardrobe. Where you're going to buy from? You're going to buy from Edgar's. Jets has gone too small for you. Before you survive from jam clothing, now you want to go into something greater. Why? Poor. Poor. You say, no, but God blessed me. Yes. But the blessing is not over. It's the starting. So you know that when God starts to bless you, the Bible says, he who is faithful will little. Your first blessing is little. What is God's intention for you? Much. But how do you get too much? Don't be poor with your little. Okay. My intention today, and that's why I want you to hear, because we're going to tell you what the gospel of the kingdom is, why Jesus preached it. He preached it so you never have to be poor in your life. Okay? You never have to be poor. I pray today that it will transform your lives, your thinking. I'll tell you, it worked for me. So I'm speaking to you after 15 years. Somebody yesterday asked me, so how long did it take to change your situation? I said, how many times did we move in 18 years? Six times. We moved in 18 years. Renting from house to house. Why was that? God had a plan for us. Why? We had to learn how to steward what was another man's. To manage it, take care of it, do the best, make it like it's ours. Then just the moment we got comfortable, he shifted us to the next one. And just the moment we got comfortable, he shifted us to the next one. But everyone, we invested in that house. Like it was our house. Changed the walls, painted everything, changed the driveway, put blue stone. I remember getting someone to clean it, getting stuff done. Because we knew that God was entrusting us with something. I'm not in the same place I was 18, probably more than 15 years ago. I'm not in the same place. Why? God checked faithfulness over a period of time. Guess what? I'm no more poor. I may be poor for the next level, because we're always increasing, but I'm no more poor.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So that's the gospel of the kingdom world. Of course it does. Transforms life. But you've got to ask yourself, are you a faithful steward? So, who are the poor? The poor are those who are struggling economically, those who are struggling socially, who are those who are educationally struggling. That means people don't read, they don't study, they don't upgrade themselves. They think we are here now, we don't have to learn anything. They are poor. When last did you read a book? When last did you watch a documentary that will affect your general knowledge? I don't know. But TikTok? Yeah? Yeah, very rich you are in TikTok. TikTok information, you know. All these fellows' names. Sitting in the kingdom of God. Poor. Absolutely poor. You laugh. Why are you laughing? Someone has overtook you. Yeah, carry on. I'm actually very happy if you're happy. I still love it. I'm so excited. But I have to pay for your meal. Yeah? You can't take me out, I have to take you out. They take you out, you have to go to Nando's. Get offended this morning. That's okay. Because I want you to know that where you're settling is not the place God intended for you. Are you with me? So you say, Pastor, I wish I could give more. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? I don't have enough. No, you don't wish you can have more. No, you don't wish you can give more. You got enough to give. You don't want to give what you got. But God will give you so you can give more. No, God wants you to give more so he can give you more.
Yes.
That's the way it works. In the kingdom, it doesn't work that God gives you more than you give more. No, you're not giving. You're only returning what God gave you. So you're not giving anything. In fact, people give their tithe, they think, whoo, sure, 5,000 rand I gave. No, you didn't give. The tithe is not paid. The tithe is returned. If the tithe is returned and you don't return it, you're a thief. That's why the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Now he's talking about a man. Children will rob God. Children don't pay tithes. They don't return. They don't feel bad because they go buy sweet, they go buy new clothes, they eat nicely, they go, and they won't feel like they did anything wrong. But a man thinks differently. When we talk about man, remember it's a generic term for a grown-up, mature person. Will they rob God? No, they won't. How do they rob God? In tithes and offerings. So they know tithes. Remember, tithe is connected to offerings. Yeah? One, tithe is return, offering is given, offered. So your giving only starts when you offer. Oh, you're quite quiet now. I told you a good message is going to be. Right? It's going to make, you're going to change your perspective. I was there when you were there.
Yeah.
When I started 18 and when you first got married, we had 1,500. We got married, two of us, that's 750 rand each. So we first gave away the tithe, we gave 150, 200 rand tithe that time. 1,300. No, take away that, we have to pay 1,000 rand rent. So I have to learn then. You see, you can give tithe. You can say, wow, I'm giving, God told me to give 30%. Yeah, God told you. So if it's a tithe that God told you to give, you're not giving, you're returning.
Yeah.
Your giving starts after the tithe. Okay. Hurt you a little bit. So if you bring the tithe, you give it to me, you give it to God, you return nothing. You take offering, you put it in the basket, you put it there, that's very good, you give to God. How much you offer to me? Just a thought. You ready? Oh, sorry. This is like to encourage you. Just encourage you. So by the way, that was the distraction. Some people are poor educationally. Some people are poor physically. All their money just goes into medication. Because when the Lord told us 8 years ago, 10 years ago, you must exercise. Fit pastor. Things are okay. You see, the word of the Lord will linger. Yesterday you heard about the instruction. Is that right? It's there. It's when you receive it. But it's there. Well, take a hold of it. That was the word of God. Though people are poor in their ability to receive instruction. So you see, no one is getting excluded now. Right? Because you can get rich, you can get wealthy in a couple of years' time, your money has to go only for taking care of you. You look at the medication I have to buy. Medication is very expensive. You can pay up to 1,000 rand a month, some people 2,000 rand a month, just for medicine. Which if we had the information early, we could have changed the course of our life. Changed our diet. Changed our lifestyle. Cut that by half. Now young people, you live in the fullness of youth, vigor, vitality. You don't think you'll get sick. Oh, don't worry. Comes like a thief. Suddenly you wake up and you realize I've got problems. But you sat in the environment where grace was, where the word of the Lord was. How poor you must be to have received the reverential presence of God through His word, but decided it was not for me. Yeah? Okay. Sorry. I know I'm teaching this. Environmentally, you can be poor. That means your whole environment at home is not conducive to the presence of God. Everything is everywhere, your home is not set. Come to your kitchen, it looks like someone worldly did it. After you cook, you think that after you cook, because you cook, it was so heavy, you leave everything as it is. Environment, you're not aware that your birds must be clean, your yard must be clean. You see papers in your yard, say the wind blew it. Now you wait for the wind to blow it away. What? You want to know that there's a responsibility. You can be poor. You can be poor spiritually. Those who are poor spiritually can't work, can't migrate according to the word of God, proceeding word of God. Those that are poor spiritually can't covenant. Very difficult for them to covenant. Those who are poor spiritually can't discern the voice of God. Those who are poor, you think you are poor because you can say something. You're not poor because you can say something, but covenant is a problem for you. Can't discern the voice of God. You don't know how the voice of God comes. In the scriptures, the word poor means a couple of things. It means to be deficient. In the Hebrew language, it means to be impoverished. It means to have lack. Now, you know, we use a famous scripture in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. So, if you knew that you could be rich quickly, The way to getting rich is the Lord is your shepherd, you shall lack nothing. How do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Easy, the tool of the shepherd is his voice. Is that right? So the shepherd will use his voice because sheep not noticing the facial recognition systems don't have all of that. They only hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, that's important because if the Lord is your shepherd, how does he lead you? How does he guide you? How does he direct you? It's by his voice. And who is the voice of God? His sent ones. So if you have the spirit to spirit connection, you will discern the voice of God. And the voice of God will say, yeah, let's go. And you will go. And if you do, he'll lead you into a place called no land. You'll overcome poverty. Yeah? Simple, simple. But we're just moving on. Now, another meaning for, it comes from the root word, poor means to lack, it means to fail. It means to lessen, it means to decrease. It means to make lower standards. You can become poor because every year you drop your standard. You don't increase your standards. That's a poor person. Last year I spent 5 minutes with the Lord, or half an hour spent with the Lord. This year I'm a little bit busier, so I'm spending 20 minutes with the Lord. You became poor. Are you okay? Okay. All right. Just describing poverty according to the lesson something. It means like, at least let us respond. You lessen the value of God. In your eyes, he doesn't become as holy as he is anymore. When you first started, it was very holy. But now you give yourself reason to say, I can't do these things. You forget. That makes you poor. You decrease. Here's the other thing. You believe. Someone who becomes poor is crying all the time. Crying people don't change the world. Crying people get sympathy. Are you with me? How many of you know, if I stood here now, and it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the presence of the Lord, and if I just start crying, and if I tell you, you say, hey, Pastor, I'll see you. Say, you know my wife, maybe she'll finish me. If I tell you those things, how many of you know that you will not respect me? You might feel sorry for me. But keep crying does not change anything. What are you? Poor. Everyone say poor. There's a time when you walk with the Lord where you must stop crying. You must ask, what do I need to do? Yes? Because God is a problem solver. Everyone say problem solver. So if you want to get out of poverty, the Bible says you must preach the gospel to the poor. So how do you get out of poverty? There is an announcement of the word. Good tidings. When you listen to that, you apply, you'll start to leave the location called poverty. You leave it. You become far better. Everyone say, stop crying.
Stop crying.
This is not a day of crying. Listen to me very clearly. Stop crying. You're a big man, you're a big lady, only crying. Everything you cry. No, that is a cop-out. That's deception. The truth sets you free, but the truth you must stand. Must confront it. Stop crying. Okay? Children are allowed to cry. Me, a lot of times when I deal with people, they come, I tell them certain things. I've got tissues in my house, but my wife will touch around at a certain time. Then I'll wait for them, you okay? Stop crying, wipe your eyes, now I'm going to talk to you. Because if you don't wipe the eyes, that thing will be coming down here, it's coming down. Now, I'm not going to be talking to you the word of the Lord, I'm going to be looking at what's coming down here. I want to give you the word of the Lord. I need you to sober up. We got solutions. The gospel has answers. Can deliver you today, in the next couple of months, it can deliver you, can set you free. You can be on your course to prosperity. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I hope you are not poor. Okay. Just want it, right? What else it means? It means that you are making lower, it means you are decreasing, it means that you are bereaving, it means that you are without joy, poor. Without jokes, poor. Without relationships, poor. Without electricity, poor. Without bread, poor. Without rice, poor. Without meat, poor. Yeah? If you don't have any valuable relationships, you're poor. Without the Holy Spirit, poor. You gotta know when you're poor. Now, all of these things I'm telling you because we have a solution for them. Say amen. Yeah, we have a solution from the word of God. So, what is the solution for the poor? The poor are in need of the good news. Now, what is that? See, every time we preach, if you don't think we are preaching good news, you'll fall off the steeple. If you don't think you're preaching good news, you'll say, what is pastor saying? What is he saying? But then you look at the baby, you look at your husband, so nice is looking today. Look at your wife, wonder why she dressed up like that. You look at the thing, hey, look at the cracks on the walls. You have come to church, still like the same. Right? It's important. When you come into the gospel of Christ, your value changes, your net worth changes, your capital changes, your wealth changes. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
You must know this. If it's not changing, there's no problem with the word. There's a problem with the recipient. So, I want to deal with one mindset maybe for a little bit while and then get into it. What are some of the reasons people are poor? What are some of the reasons for poverty? Here's one I want to deal with, and maybe we'll address it a little bit today. It is, you have a mindset that it is God's will for you to be poor. Because I grew up in that setup. I grew up in an institutional church where pastors were supposedly, the more poor you were, more humble you were, and the better pastor you were. So the church wouldn't pay you much because you just needed to live, but pastors must live by faith.
Yeah.
No, maybe you don't know that, but I'm telling you, it's true. I want to say Satyama, but I won't say it. So you have to live by faith. And faith was, if your car doesn't have petrol, you must push it, God will send someone with a gallon of petrol. Many pastors in an old order, they struggled with embarrassment, disgrace, and shame because the people were not educated. They didn't know that when Jesus came, he brought another kingdom. The kingdom was a kingdom from above. It was a higher kingdom. It was a greater kingdom. It was not the kingdoms of this world that would fail and falter and have no, and that would subject the people to becoming slaves. It was a kingdom that brought liberty, brought prosperity, brought victory in Christ. Now you are listening to the message of the kingdom. The intention of God is that you would be delivered from your chains. But you see, there's a battle spiritually, there's a battle physically, there's a battle mentally, there's a battle socially. And you are engaged in it every day. So you've got to know how to fight the battles. So you can have a mindset, but I want to set your mind at ease. Everyone said he's going to do it fast. I'm going to give you one from the Old Testament. This is the way it's going to be, right? Deuteronomy 8:18. There's a verse you must learn off by heart. You must know it. The Bible says, and you shall remember. Everyone say, remember. So you must remember, he's talking to the nation of Israel. They're going, getting ready to enter the promised land. He gives them a couple things. Go read the chapter. It's very exciting. But he tells them, you shall remember that it is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. So God doesn't give you wealth. He gives you power. So I wish you know, if you are powerless, I know you're not connected to the Lord. Oh, it is, let me give you the sequence. It is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. So if you want wealth, you have to have power. But what's the source for power? The Lord. You want to see your wealth increase. You're going to ask yourself, what is your relationship with the Lord? People say, Pastor, pray for me. Yeah, we pray for you. But he doesn't give me the power to get your wealth. He gives you the power to get wealth. So what do? We give you the power. What's the power? Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. So what am I called to give you? Christ. As I give you Christ, you meditate on Christ, you take Christ in, you practice Christ. Guess what you're receiving? Power. What's the power for? Power not just to come to church. Power to get wealthy. This was in the old covenant. God said to the nation, you're going to go into this land. You're going to come into some houses. You're going to come into some fruitfulness. You're going to come in. But don't, when you get there, don't think you did it. He said, don't think, because you're going to come into it, you're going to go into this promised land, suddenly you're going to have great, big, big graves. You're going to have a yard, big yard you're going to have. You're going to have water supply. You're going to have access to things you never had before. Suddenly you can think, hey, we did this thing. So no, don't.
It is the Lord who gives you power together. How did we start? Christ, the power, and the wisdom of God. Now, let me go to Isaiah 11:2. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. Might is power. Hey, listen. You know, you're wealthy. It's connected to your relationship through God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You get that right, He'll give you power. Oh, and you start making things you never thought you'd make. You walk into things you never thought you'd walk into. Why? This is why He came. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does God intend for you? Everyone say power.
Power.
For what? Okay, well. God doesn't want you to be poor. Come on, everyone say God doesn't want me to be poor. Why do you know that is true? On the earth, you can't function with your plane. You have to have money to trade. Yeah? If you want to buy a property, you can say, hey, God sent me to come and say, who's your God? Say, no, you'll see, my God will show you. What did he show you? Whatever he shows you, you still have to buy the money. Yeah? So God needs us to be wealthy. Why? There's property to be acquired. Why? So that you can take care of his earth. You can steward it. Now you can maybe just want a house for yourself. It doesn't reflect what is in the heart of God. Why does God want to give you a house? He wants to give you a house so you can represent His glory. That means on your street, your house is supposed to be the best, neatest, tidiest, grace flowing, everything up to date. Up to date potatoes, up to date onions, up to date tomatoes, everything up to date. You got that Tupperware from 1965. You got containers that are stacked in like you're expecting the whole of the Israelite nation to come to your house. Maybe one day. You think God can't provide for today? That you have to plan for Him for 10 years? Poor. No, my mother gave him this pot. The handle is broken this side. The lid is not turning. But you got it there because your mother gave. But what is it a representation of? Sentimentality, not spirituality. Poor. Oh yeah, you can be sentimental about things that were given to you, nice. But you are in the land of the living. And God has a people that depend on your mindset. Because there's a gospel. You're going to announce it. You're announcing it when you arrive in your car. You're announcing it when you speak to your wife. You're announcing it when you speak to your children. You're announcing it when you prepare to come to church. You're announcing it when you walk into any environment you walk in. You're announcing that the kingdom of God is here. You're announcing it. And every poor person is listening. Because they know what they, you don't know what they're deficient of. But they know what they're deficient of. And what they're drawing from you. Grace. Without you even speaking to them, but you're announcing it. In the way you represent yourself, in the way your hair is combed, in the way you speak, in the way you manage things, in the way when you go to the food court in Gateway and you eat there, after that your table must be cleaner than everyone else. Well, there is a cleaner there. Because you are not poor. Say, oh, these people didn't serve us. Well, just leave these things like that. Poor. He gave you power to get wealth. Don't represent your feelings. Represent Him. You go tip the people. The cost of the meal is 500 rand. The thing for 495 rand, you pay 500. 500 tip. You wealthy? No. Poor. Oh, rich people are generous. They don't have all the money, but they know how to tip. Now imagine you come into your father's house. You can't tie it. Oh boy, you must be. I forgot. No, don't talk nonsense. You're poor. Poor. Hey, I know principles that work. I started it when I didn't have much. Boy, it works. The world can't understand, say, oh, what your pastor talking about tithing, or they want money from you, you get poor. No. I can show you, the more I give, the more I got.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but I can tell you, I just believe it. Tell people, no, you must tithe, pastor, I don't have to tithe. They don't. Then you're heading down a path of poverty. It's a kingdom. There's an economy. Let me give you the definition of the word economy. Maybe Namesh will know it, maybe those know it. Economy has three words, right? It's not economy, no.
Well, the economy is
production, distribution, consumption. This is Kevin. This is the English definition. Production, distribution, consumption. What are the people in the church? Production, consumption, distribution. Do you have an economy? No. Even the world knows. Distribution before consumption.
Yes.
You come into the kingdom, whatever you produce, you distribute to God. You distribute to whatever He asks you. Then you can consume and you'll have leftover. Jesus prayed, distributed, had leftover. You want to develop a kingdom economy. Don't be consumed with consumption. But here's the thing, if you're not even producing, how are you going to distribute? Because no, I'm trusting the Lord is going to give me the right door, the right job. No, there's no right door, right job. You start wherever the right person has entered. And they start producing. And they believe their God, that He sets you there. They believe their God, that He gives you power to get wealth. So the territory that in us, Isaac, the territory you're in, not this Isaac, is the other Isaac, the one in the Bible. Ask the one in the Bible, because you go ask Isaac, I say, hello. Ask Isaac. He was set, God told him, stay in famine. Now, if you were listening to God, at that time, you would think, it's not God. Famine, you need a safe place. Listen to me, Isaac. Are you listening? You're the Isaac of God. God tells you to stay in famine. You're trying to escape famine. God tells you to stay in famine. He doesn't tell him anything else. But Isaac, the natural inclination, because when his father laid him on the altar, he gave himself. He knew that whenever you placed in any environment that is difficult, you sow. Isaac went and sowed in the time of famine and reaped a hundredfold and young. And the Bible says, he began to be prosperous. Where you're living right now is not prosperity. The beginnings of your prosperity is when you're going through famine and you know how to sow in the time of famine. You will reap a hundredfold and it will be the beginning. Why I'm telling you beginning? Because Isaac had a threefold production. The Bible said, if they had to be prosperous, he became more prosperous. Until you became very prosperous. Now, I told you this many times. Isaac was the promised son of Abraham. Abraham, when he rescued Lot, had 380 trained servants. He gave gifts to his other children, but to Isaac he gave his inheritance. By the time Isaac is Lot, they got more than 380 trained servants. But everything he acquired from his father didn't make him prosperous. Don't wait for your father to die, your mother to die, to think you can enter prosperity then. It's not prosperity according to God. You must ask God for your own prosperity.
Yes.
Don't wait for them to die, because Isaac had everything, but the Bible never considered him prosperous. Because his prosperity was dependent on, it is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. He discovered that when God told him to stay in famine, God wanted to show him how he can get power to get wealth in a land that is dry and barren. God has you in locations, but if you don't understand that He set you and He has a power to break the location, the limitation of the location, so you can enter into your prosperity, you'll wait for someone to deliver you. Come on, I don't want you to be poor anymore. You can't afford to be poor anymore. God wants, He chose you. We sang this one. He chose you. And you are His face, you are His representation. The intention is that you would never be poor. Because then it's a reflection on the kingdom that he has. When Jesus came, always he took a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish. God was showing off. People were there. All you needed to do was feed the people. Jesus told the disciples, collect what you left over. Because I want you to know what kind of power your Father gives. He gives leftover. Bible says that, listen now, 12 baskets of food. Leftover. Because God not have mats. No, God is a shore. God is a shore. You lift him up, you put it in his hands, he'll always give you leftover. Oh, you'll have more than enough leftover. Don't ever doubt. This is the kingdom that you have come in. But the poverty mindset can make you think that you are meant to be poor. You shall remember. Remember God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. God said to him, after these things, he said, do not be afraid. I am your shield. You are exceedingly great. God could have stopped. I am your shield. I am your protector. Then he said, no, no, no. There's more. And if you know, God gave Abraham the power to get back. Abraham had 318 trained servants. Then he won everything and he went and delivered Lot and he took nothing from them. Absolutely nothing. So, no, I don't want anything except for the guys in Egypt. Give them their share. How much must you have to put all of your resources on display and not want anything of the spoil? But yet he still offers to you, I'll give you 10%. Isaac was wealthy. Jacob was wealthy. Every patriarch in the scriptures was wealthy, prosperous. Why are you coming to the kingdom? Why are you coming to the kingdom? What? Production. What are you producing? What are you producing? Oh, I'm praying, Pastor. Prayer don't produce anything except intimacy with God. After that, you must work. When I say work, not bad luck work, then. Work. Children, you want to start to be productive in your life? Be beneficial? Work at home. Work at home. Clean the yard. Put your bed. Wash the dishes. Sweep the house. Yeah, we have domestic workers now. But you must know, you must do it with this in mind. God gave me power to get well. I'm starting my journey to my prosperity. Yes. That's all. Oh, I had a busy mom, dad. I was studying for the whole time for exams. I'm so tired. Get over yourself. Sleep 8 hours. Get up. Wash the dishes. Wash the clothes. Wash the floor. Say this house could do with some painting. Father, we trust you for paint. We trust God because why? The house doesn't look bad. The representation is poor. That's why we motivate. The wealth is never because, hey, I don't like the cities now. It looks so old. No. You come from a kingdom. The Bible says when Jesus began to preach, he says the kingdom of heaven, the gospel that you are preaching is a gospel of heavenly things. And you are bringing heaven on earth. Your couch is there, it's torn, your children took a knife, toy, you didn't bother, you didn't put tape to stick it, you're carrying on. Someone drew on the floor, you said, oh, the child is missing the floor, leave it. Because you're looking at the child, you're not looking at the kingdom. Okay. So you're going to get power to get wealth? No. Because you're going to condone a behavior that will not make them understand why God makes you prosperous. So when I come into our household, we are family. I know you all want to sing this one now. We are family. No, my face goes funny because I see coffee spilled on the table. I see that dirt is not picked up. I'm still dealing with children that don't have power, but they're not going to get wealth. Because if you can treat the house of the Lord as a common thing,
I can only imagine what it is in your house. When I see people come in and they bypass responsibility, only if I'm asked to do it, I'll do it. I know you've got no power. Poor. Powerful people will serve anywhere, anytime without being asked. Because they got power all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, come on, you must get tired of poverty. God gives you power to get wealth. But I tell you, you must remember this definition. You want an economy. You don't just want money, you don't want blessing. You want an economy that is sustaining, that is moving on. You need to know that some of you are not going to bypass your economies because others are going to be ready to take it. And God is a just God. If you despise it, Esau despised his birthright. He gave it to Jacob. Because Jacob wanted it more. Even though he used deception to get it, he gave it to him, Jacob. And you know what the Bible says later? He says, Jacob, I have loved, but Esau, I have hated. Why? I gave him a power. What is the power? Firstborn status, right to represent. I gave him all of the privileges that come with it, that you'd have the double portion. He could not wait his time and he got tired of it. He sold it. He could not wait for the appointed time when he would walk into the blessing and his life would be greater than his father's. He got tired. So the power to get wealth became for self. He had the privilege for representation. Good name? Well, I'm determined in the Lord and I know that this is the word because I said to the Lord, I don't want anyone to be poor. Poor people come and they wait after refreshments to see what they can take home. They don't say, no, we got a car that, yeah, but people are like, give it to everyone. We don't need to take food from the church. We brought to eat, give it to the people outside. You can't come with the mentality of waiting for the snowballs. Waiting for the leftover samosa. No problems. We'll give it to you. But you have no power to get well. Are you okay? When I teach you to bring refreshments and bring your meals, it is production, distribution, consumption. What you are doing in the house of God, you're learning an economy. You don't bring anything, no production. You have not distributed. You're only a consumer. You have devalued yourself. God gave you an opportunity, you devalued yourself. This is not, we don't do it because I like food. It may have started like that. But there are eternal principles. Pastor, the people say, Pastor, I don't have any. Bring whatever you got. If you were with me when we started that house, I told the people, if you could afford, that toppers was 125, 150. So you can afford one packet of toppers to bring it. Those people don't bring toppers anymore. Now they've moved up. Started. I know the people started. I can tell you because I was the pastor that time. They brought toppers. Because they were obedient to the instruction. Now they kept topping up. Yeah? Some of you know what toppers are. You see, you can say, I don't have opportunity, I don't have transport, I don't have. This is not what that's about. I'm after an economy. A sustainable economy that when the earth fails, I'm living from the heavens. Are you with me? Okay. A little bit tough, but here we are. Almost finished. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. Okay. You can inflict a curse on yourself because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can say, I don't have, it's not enough, and you can curse yourself. I was too busy. I didn't have the time. I just did what was easy. If you heard yesterday, the heart is deceitful. When you do anything to the Lord, it must be from your heart. Production is connected to heart. But your heart is deceitful. But you're trying to come into a place where you're pleasing. So we want to break the spirit of poverty. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
We want to break it. You want to break it. You don't want to be poor anymore. Wherever you go, you want to be like the richest person. I learned certain things from my spiritual father. He showed me a couple of things. He would go everywhere we would go. He'd always volunteer to pay. So So we thought he had a lot of money, giving him some tithes, some part of New Year's. I didn't know he was setting himself up for getting more money. So whenever we would be around him, we would fight, my brothers and I, we would fight as to who would pay. Because I'm bigger, I had power to get wealth. So I used my power to push them. Sometimes no money. Sometimes the bill is 1,000, 2,000 rand. I would want to say, Lord, this is my desire. I want to be able to take care of my brothers every day. Even now, I fight whenever we go out. I fight today. Because I want to be the one, to be like Joseph, to prepare a motion for my brother. That comes a great sacrifice. But he gives power. That power gets amplified, magnified. Because what you're looking for is you want to represent his goodness. Your name. That's what you want. What does it start with? It starts with small things. Small things. Yeah, I love when people pray for me. But now I start to feel bad. Hey God, I don't have to pay. So I fight. Thankfully now, we don't have to fight. We'll have to fight with somebody to get into the big one. How many of you want to be in that place?
Yes.
So how are you going to do that? You're going to have to start with small things. Yeah, you're going to have to make sure you don't inflict curses on yourself. I can't make it, I can't afford. No, then curse. And we can't make that curse. You step into it. No, I'm looking for the glory of God. I'm okay, but I don't want to be okay. You've got to keep this in your mind. I want 12 basket pulls left over. Yeah? Most of you have basket cases left over, but you want a basket pull left over.
Yeah.
You want it over. I'm telling you, listen today. You get this thing because this is the gospel, the first gospel Jesus preached. Before he dealt with mentalities, he said, I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. That is the first thing. You've got to work out what your poverty state is, where you are poor, which area you're poor in. And you've got to start now asking God for power to get wealth in it. You've got to ask Him. Because He gives. Why? We didn't finish the verse. You know your people know you're distracted. It is He who gives you power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers. Therefore, wealth is not evil. God gives you power to get wealth. It's not evil. So, let me give you a couple of verses and then we close. Proverbs 30 verse 7. There is one who makes himself rich yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor yet has great riches. This is about pretense. People pretend that they got, they act like they're rich but they got nothing. And then there are people who, like Dr. Gavin said, park in the shade, but they got a lot of it. You must know what your worth is, what you have. And don't pretend that you have. Don't show off. Don't be out there. Establish the covenant of God. Do it secretly. Do it without notice. Okay? Don't pretend anything. Don't talk about where you're going, what you're doing. Oh, keep quiet. Yeah? Keep quiet. Don't tell the people, ooh, end of the year, I'm going Cape Town. Why you want to do that? The demons know where you're going. Go that old shop. Demons will follow you. You have function, you have bone life, a lot of things. But you must know how to go quiet. Okay? Don't pretend. When I say don't pretend. This is what the Message Bible says. I'm going to give you this. A pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. For that, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. How do you become poor? Proverbs 21 verse 70. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. Overindulgence. You love pleasure. You got the resource, but you love to pleasure yourself. You buy what you don't need. And then you end up in a path of poverty. Proverbs 13:23. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. For lack of justice, there is waste. How do you become poor? Wastage. Lots of people don't know that God trusts you, but when you keep wasting, you end up being poor. Let me give you a story as we close. The story is, you cook the food on Monday, you don't eat it on Tuesday, you leave it in the fridge till Friday, and then you throw it in the bin on Saturday. Don't think God is not mocked. If you mock God, you'll end up in a poor state. If you're not going to eat it, bless someone. Bless. Give. Say, listen, I cooked extra. I don't think my family is going to finish it. Can I give you this? Think of your brother. Think of your sister. Say, I cooked cows. Then go by Leon. Say, Leon. It will never get wasted, I can tell you. Then everyone say, bring it. No, I have to pick it up here. Yeah. You have to know that wastage God hates. You must know that. I don't mind eating fresh food every day, very good. But if it's wasted, it goes into the bin. You're a poor person. Very poor person. And you're headed for the path of poverty. Proverbs 22 verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Inability to be generous. Bible says he who has a generous eye. That means how you see people. Know what I was given for. They don't deserve it. Look how they're living. They don't deserve it. That's not a generous eye. You don't give because people deserve it. You got the salvation, the grace of God, the power, not because you deserve it. Yeah? That's a little bit of a circumstance, is that? Yeah. Have a generous heart. Be a blessing to every people who got more. Bless them. Why? You're not after anything else, but you want to express Christ. That's what you want to do. You want to express Christ wherever you are. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over people. Over poor people. You have wicked or ungodly views. Let me bring it down to grassroots. You got a domestic worker in your house and you're a wicked ruler. Yeah. Hey, come here, pick that thing up. Come here, pick that thing up. Hey, you're not going to get any food till you finish your work. So, no, you pay. Ungodly. Imagine God saying, come here, I'm going to give you 59 if you walk like this. You go to church, I'll give you 59. No, you can be an ungodly ruler. Say, we're paying these people lazy men. Yeah. And then you say, yeah, to steal. And love has changed me. But you're not letting his love change someone else. Yeah. That's a poor person. Don't think I'm talking only about you. Sometimes I got that attitude. Sometimes. I try to get it right. But it's hard. You think you're entitled to your opinions. But his love. His love was always over my eyes. You must help all the side of life. Be gracious. Okay, a couple of verses. Proverbs 29:13-14. The poor man, the oppressor of the sick man, the Lord gives light to the eyes of both. One is a lowly position, one is a high position. But both receive light, that means illumination. Both receive sight. If you have a lack of sight, you don't have clear vision, it can make you very poor. Because you see people after the flesh, and you don't see through the eyes of God. So you judge prematurely. You judge based on words. You judge a person because of looks. You don't have the sight to know how to live a life well in everyone's. So, I've got a couple other things that I'll share about how you can enter into the space of poverty. But I think the main thing I wanted to deal with today was the whole issue of this yoke of bondage that people have, self-inflicted curses, where they think we are meant to be poor and this is the design of God. Let the Lord speak, let his word rule over you. Listen to this verse, right? As we close. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. Proverbs 28 verse 22. Lots of people are very stingy. Stingy. They can't share with anyone. If they can use minimal amount of money, that's what they want to do. They got no money, but
everything, things are bad, things are lacking. But you'll see them wearing good ones, you'll see them sitting in spheres, and you'll see them sitting outside, but every time stingy. Why? Only for themselves. Why does God give you the power you have? That you can He can show and manifest His covenant. So what's the covenant? His covenant. We are blessing to His body. Bless the body of Jesus. And I pray today that even as we begin this journey to your prosperity, there will be new beginnings.
Yes.
You will leave the location of poverty. Stop being poor. Stop giving yourself reason to be poor. Become the richest person. And know that God has already given you power to become one. Amen?